I am Eleanor Mermelstein. I am with my partner, Joan Haber. This is March 2, 1984. We are here for Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. We are interviewing Mrs. Elizabeth Schuster at her home. Mrs. Schuster, what is your address?
I live at 5744 Woodmont Street.
Thank you. Mrs. Schuster, or may I call you Liz as your friends do?
I hope so.
Tell us something about your background when you were a child.
Oh, I was born on Center Avenue near Craig Street and lived there for about 5 or 6 years. I lose track of time. And then we moved to the corner of Denniston and Northumberland and lived there a year. And then moved up the block to a house near Ellsboro and lived there, the rest of my unmarried life. I went to Linden School. I didn't start until I was in second grade. I must have been taught at home, but the funny thing is I can't remember. I can't remember it. All I know is that when I went to school, I could read. Because the principal asked me to read something from an Uncle Wiggily book, I think, when I went in to see where to place me when I first started Linden School.
Can you tell us something about your parents? Where was your father born?
My father was born here in Pittsburgh. His parents came from one from Germany and one from England. Originally, but he was born here, and my mother was born in Philadelphia. My father was a physician, a general practitioner. In those days, he did everything, from treating cuts to delivering babies. My mother, she had three children. I was the middle one of three. And she was very active in all kinds of community affairs.
And can you tell us something about your sisters, brothers? You said there were
two brothers
in the family.
Yeah. Two brothers, an older brother, Alexander, and a younger brother, Henry.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I never had a sister and always wished I had one, mm-hmm. but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Alex was an engineer. He graduated from Cornell and worked all his working life for Blahnox Company here. Retired when he was about 60, retired early, and interested himself in all kinds of community affairs, mainly artistic. He had a lot to do with the Three Rivers Arts Festival and the Chamber Music Society, and so on. He died in 1978. My younger brother, Henry, was in advertising. And he lived for a while in New York and then here, and he died very young. He was only 48 when he died.
Mm-hmm. What was the religious atmosphere like in your home when you were a child?
We were Reformed Jews. We were members of Road of Sholem congregation, and all of us went to Sunday school all the way through until we were confirmed. My mother was a very good attendant at religious services. My father was not. He went only when shanghaied by my mother to go on the high holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, he wasn't very much interested.
Mm-hmm.
We were funny observers. We weren't very strict Jewish observers. Matter of fact, we celebrated everything, every kind of holiday. We celebrated Hanukkah and Christmas, Easter and Passover, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a very strictly religious household.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather lived with us for a lot of my young life, and he was a conservative. He was actually a member of the Tree of Life mm-hmm. congregation. But he was a very liberal conservative. And the only thing we didn't do, we didn't have a Christmas tree. We had ham and bacon, but he didn't eat it. That mm-hmm. was all.
Was your father one of the founders of Road of Shalom?
No.
Your grandfather?
No. My grandfather was one of the founders of the Montefiore Hospital. He was first president, I believe, at the
moment. Grandfather?
My grandfather,
yeah. And what was his name?
Henry Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
My father hadn't anything to do with Rosh Hashanah to my memory. My mother was the one who was interested. She was president of the sisterhood and so on.
Mm-hmm.
No, my father was a very uninterested religious adherent.
Was your grandfather a doctor?
No, my grandfather was in the clothing business.
Oh. But you say he was the first president of
Montefiore Hospital when it was up on Heron Hill. He had a clothing business called Jackson's, which was where the first the Aldine and then the Nixon Theater. I don't know what's there now, but that down on Liberty Avenue.
I think that's a parking lot now.
Probably.
The last Nixon?
Yeah, it used to be the Aldine, and then it turned into the
Nixon.
Well,
that's now a parking lot,
yeah,
I believe.
There's nothing there, I don't think, anymore. But that was Jackson's clothing, and my grandfather and his two of his brothers, one anyway, of his brothers, Isaac Jackson, owned the clothing business, and several of the sons, my father's brothers, worked there. Leo, Charles, there were six boys in that family. My father was the oldest of six boys, and the next brother was also a doctor, Dan Jackson. He was a gynecologist. Several of the others worked in the clothing business.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the brothers, the younger ones, Fred and Arthur, were artistic people. Arthur wrote music for the Dickens was it called? George White's Scandal, that was it. He died very young. He died when he was 26, I think, or 29.
Well, did he live in New York? Did he write for George White's
Scandal? He
lived
in New York. He had been at an army camp during the First World War and got tuberculosis and died a very young man, but he lived in New York, yes, and was a friend of George White's.
Mm-hmm.
And the other youngest one, Fred, wrote plays and moved out to Hollywood and lived there for a long time. I don't even know where he is or anything. We lost track of him.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote plays not very well known. He wrote something called The Bishop Misbehaves that played here once years and years ago because I remember being taken to see it.
I remember.
Yeah.
You mentioned that all of you were confirmed as children.
Yes, yes.
Since your grandfather lived with you and belonged to the Tree of Life, did he insist upon bar mitzvah for the boys?
No. As a matter of fact, he was a liberal conservative. On Yom Kippur, my mother used to go with him to the Tree of Life for part of the day, and then he would go with my mother to Rosh Hashanah for the other part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So. No, he made nothing of it at home.
Mm-hmm. Tell me something about your early school life. You mentioned you had gone to grade school at Linden.
That's right, all the way through eighth grade.
And then where did you go to high school?
Then I went to Shenley High School.
Uh-huh.
In those days, we had a choice. When we lived in this neighborhood, we had a choice. We could go either to Shenley or to Peabody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I went to Shenley. I have no idea, but I did. And graduated from Shenley in 26, a long time ago.
Did you go to college after graduation?
I went to what's now CMU, Carnegie Tech it was then. I had the idea in my mind that I would like to be an artist, and luckily my parents didn't discourage me. They let me try it out for a year, and it took me a year to discover I wasn't an artist, and so I transferred at the end of the year to the University of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I had friends who went there, Helen Ginsberg particularly, and she said she thought I would like it, so I transferred to the University of Wisconsin, graduated from there. I had to go to summer school a couple of summers to make up for all these credits that I didn't have that I'd spent making charcoal drawings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked out.
What was your major at
My
Wisconsin?
Major was English.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a teacher certificate but I never taught. I went back after I graduated. Remember, I graduated in the middle of the Depression. I graduated in 1930 from college. So jobs were not. So I went back for a graduate year in English. And when I came home, and before I took my dissertation, whatever it is you have to do for a master's, I was offered a job at the Jewish Family and Children's Service.
Mm-hmm.
My mother didn't want me to go away from home again. I'd been away, after all, for 4 years. And the only way you could get a teacher's job was to go out of town. You couldn't teach, with a degree and a teacher's certificate in the city of Pittsburgh. You had to go to a small town somewhere, and she wanted me to stay home. So when they offered me a job as what they called, in those days they called it trainee, I guess, at the Jewish Family and Children's Service, I took it. And I went to Pitt and took one course. I had never even had a course in sociology. I had a lot of psychology, but I had no sociology. I took one course from Dr. Elmer at Pitt in sociology, and they permitted me then to take courses in the graduate school. So from then on, every at night, I took courses in the School of Social Work at Pitt when I was here, and in Philadelphia when I was there. And I'm skipping. All right. I worked for them for 2 years, from 31 to 33.
Now, when you say them, you
mean... The Jewish Family and Children's Service as
a
caseworker. Yeah, uh-huh. Here in the city. And then I got married. That was in October 1933.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to live in Philadelphia. My husband had decided that he was going into pediatrics, and he went to Philadelphia for his pediatric training. Mm-hmm. So we went there, and I got a job immediately with the, they didn't call it the same, it was called the Jewish Social Service Bureau, some other name anyway, but it was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there for 2 years, from 33 to 35, and when my husband finished his fellowship in pediatrics, and he decided to come back here to practice. He was from Milwaukee, and he didn't want to go back to Milwaukee to practice. He said everybody knew him there as a little boy, and he could see them patting him on the head instead of taking him seriously as a pediatrician. And in addition, the Pittsburgh medical climate, he felt, was much better, and with my father and my uncle both being physicians, he decided this was the place. So we came back to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
That was in late 1935, and he opened an office up on Murray Avenue and started practice. And I couldn't get a job then, so I decided that I'd do my field work for my degree, my master's social work degree, and I went to the Montefiore Hospital and started to do field work in the outpatient department at Montefiore. And in March of 1936, on the 17th, the St. Patrick's Day flood came along, and every social worker with any kind of experience at all was sent downtown to the Red Cross to be assigned to work during the flood.
Mm-hmm.
As a social worker, every person in training, doing field work, anybody
yes.
who didn't have a steady job that kept them on the job was sent down to work for the Red Cross. And that was an experience. I don't even remember how we got to town, because nothing was running, there were no streetcars or anything running. And the Red Cross was in an old building on Smithfield Street, not very far from Kaufman's. And I remember after they took the application and told me where I was to go and so on, that we went over to Kaufman's because we wanted to use the ladies' room, I think, and no elevators were running, and no escalators were running, and we walked up the and you never saw a store like that in your life. No lights, no nothing. They had no flood water, of course, they were too high, but the utilities were all gone.
Maybe you walked downtown also.
I know, that I didn't do. I think someone took us. There was a lot of carpooling, because where they sent me to work was Sharpsburg. And we had to go to town for typhoid shots. That was the other thing they did. They gave us all typhoid shots. Mm-hmm. And then they sent us out to Sharpsburg, but a car came and picked me up every morning and took me out there. And I worked there until through August. As a matter of fact, I was the last one working. I think I had more experience than a lot of the others who were working. Mm-hmm. And so they kept me on to the bitter end. Mostly it was providing furniture and so on for the people who'd been flooded out, going to see their homes and to see where they lived, and writing them vouchers for beds and bedding and food and all kinds of things. They fed us right in the building. It was some kind of a municipal building, I believe, in Sharpsburg.
Well, it really sounds like quite an experience.
Oh, it was an experience. It was fascinating.
To get back to your youth, when you were a teenager, what activities did you like and participate in?
That's awfully hard to remember. That's the hardest thing for me to remember. I wasn't very good at sports. I went to summer camp for 3 years. I had an aunt who had an interest in Accomack up in Maine, and so I went there for 3 years. But I, as an athlete, I was not very good. I was a good swimmer and a good diver and a good canoeist, and that was it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't play tennis, and I couldn't play hockey, and I couldn't play basketball. I mean, I played them, but I was rotten.
It was an effort.
Well, I was no good, that was all. Mm-hmm. But I had a lot of fun and a lot of good food, and I weighed about 30 pounds more than I do now. At the end of my first year, I think, there. Mm. No, I believe I was there for 3 years, from 13 to 16, I think, or 15, something like that. And I belonged to a French club of some kind at the high school. I had spoken French as a child. And when I started to take French in high school, I stopped being able to speak it. Mm-hmm. Because I had to stop and think what were the rules, whereas I had done it by ear up to then.
Well, how did you happen to speak French as a child?
I had a French governess.
Ah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she made us talk French. I remember once wanting a fan, apparently, and I couldn't think of the word for it in French, and I sat there on the swing. The word is éventail. I will never forget it now. But then I had a hard time remembering it. So that was why I spoke French. I don't know why. I don't know what the point was. There wasn't much. But I had a fun French teacher at high school, Doc Hext, who used to have us sing songs in French. And we had a lot of fun with him. So I belonged to the French club, and at one time I think I even belonged to the drama club, though I was not a good actress, but I suppose I did odds and ends.
Mm-hmm. And, how did you spend your leisure time?
I don't remember. I remember I did a lot of reading. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who lived up in the next block, and we used to get together and read. Her father was a doctor, too. We used to read all our doctor books that we could get hold of and see what we could find out that we didn't know. We did a lot of that. We went to lots of theater when I was in high school. Now, not earlier than that, no, but when I was in high school, we went almost every week. In those days, you paid 50 cents to sit up in what we called Peanut Heaven. There were three theaters here. The Nixon, which was then on 6th. The Alvin, which was down where the Fulton is, and Pitt Theater. And we went and saw plays. Mm-hmm. And in the summer, there were stock companies, so that we continued to do that all summer long. Mm-hmm. I can't remember whether... I think there were summer stock in more than one place. I know there was an actress called Ann Hardingdew. Do you ever remember her? She was a beautiful blonde. But she lived over here on Holland and Place. Yeah, she was in Summerstock with the man who was then her husband, whose name I can't remember. He was an actor too, not a very good one. And they acted together in all kinds of things, and we went all the time. We played some bridge, mm-hmm. very bad bridge. Mm-hmm. I can remember more gossiping than anything else. A bunch of us getting together and telling secrets and talking about all these terrible things that we read in the doctor books that we weren't supposed to know and things like that. When I was very young, I played on the street, of course, mm-hmm. with everybody in the neighborhood. We played prisoner's base and kicked the can and learned to ride bicycles and went roller skating up and down the street. There was no mm-hmm. traffic then. I mean, on Denison Avenue, you could skate in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. And, things come back. I say I can't remember, and then bits and pieces come back. I know that they built a house once across the street from us on Denison, and that we used to go and play in the sand piles that they had outside the house and jump out the windows. And years later, when my kids did it, I was so horrified until I remembered I had done exactly the same thing mm-hmm. myself. I'll tell you what else. There was a field on the corner of Forbes and Beechwood Boulevard. It was an enormous, empty lot, field, and we used to go there, pick daisies, make daisy chains, all kinds of things, pick violets, all kinds of things, like unbelievable things when you stop to think. We went to the movies some. There was a movie, The Orpheum, over here at where Isley's is, approximately. Mm-hmm. Where Isley's is.
You mean Isley's on Forbes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Forbes just above Murray.
Yeah.
The Orpheum, and we used to go to movies there.
Mm-hmm. What was life like in Pittsburgh when you were growing up? How would you compare it with life today for those who are growing up?
I suppose, it's hard to remember, but I suppose it was simpler. We went places in streetcars in the first place. The idea of going in automobiles, I mean, this is silly. Once in a while we'd get a lift somewhere, but my father was a doctor and the car was his. Nobody else ever saw the car. And I know I went to a high school in the 4th Street streetcar and then walked up from Forbes up Belfield to high school mm-hmm. all the time. We went to Kennywood some too. Mm-hmm. That was there after all. In the beginning we went to Westview Park, Westview Amusement Park. There was one out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we grew up as fast. It seems to me that we weren't sophisticated in the way children aren't. Even my children were a lot more sophisticated and knowledgeable than I was. I didn't know anything. I mean, we didn't hear anything or see anything except what we could see and hear with our eyes. We had nothing coming in, reading papers, things like that.
You had no TV.
No TV, that's right. And I don't think it occurred to us to be very interested in current affairs or the way certainly the high school children are now. I can remember sneaking my first powder compact. Cody used to make a cardboard one with a picture of puffs all over it, and we sneaked it, and when we got to school, this must have been high school, when we got to school we powdered our faces. We just didn't know very much or do very, very much. Though we all had crushes, of course, in high school. Mm-hmm. Always on the athletes, on the head of the best gymnast or the best baseball player or football player, whatever mm-hmm. it was. We always, but it was very much underground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was as much a boy-girl association as there came to be.
Well, did much life center around your temple?
A great deal, of course, because there was, in the first place, it was a swimming pool, and I went to dancing class school there, of course. I learned to swim there, as a matter of fact, and I learned to swim well. And we used to walk there, and we always carried a box of crackers with us because we knew we'd be starving on the way home. Coming up Wilkins Hill, we ate crackers, cookies. And I went to dancing school. It was ballroom dancing.
Yes.
And we had some kind of a recital because I can remember having an old-fashioned costume and doing a minuet of some kind. Oh, I thought that was wonderful. My hair was long, and my mother made curls around a stick, you know, brushed them around a stick. Mm-hmm. So they'd come out of this bonnet thing that I wore for the minuet. And I was very religious when I was young. I was very religious until I went to college, as a matter of fact. I was confirmed. I had Lester Aaron as my teacher in confirmation class, and I thought he was wonderful. And Dr. Goldenson came in while I was there, and I thought he was wonderful. And I thought he was such a saintly man, and everything he said must be true. And I was quite a religious, because I can remember writing my confirmations, which I don't remember what it was about anymore, but I can remember spending days and hours struggling over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a terrific number of presents when we were confirmed. It was much more important than graduation from high school. We were showered with gifts. My mother helped me write 5 sample thank you notes. And then as the presents came in, she would mark them down in a book and she'd put the number next to it, you know, note number 1, number 3, number 5. And I would write the thank you note for the present. Oh, boy. I also know this must have been. Am I running out? Can't you tell?
No, it's all right.
I think this must have been the Montefiore. No, this must have been after I graduated from high school. Must have been when I was in college that the Montefiore Hospital opened on 5th Avenue. Because I remember going there and taking people on tours of it. And I worked there in the outpatient department for a while. It must have been summers when I was home from college that I worked there.
You mentioned that your first year you went to Carnegie Institute.
Tech, yes.
Did you live at the dormitory
at
home?
I lived at home, which was the other thing I didn't like. I felt I wasn't in college. You know, it was just the same as high school.
Yes.
And so that I wasn't really too sad that I turned out not to be an artist.
Can you tell us?
I think we'll turn it down.